and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 619.
That's right. Starbreaker Core penultimate issue. Ultimate notwithstanding.
It's a penna.
ML. To be fair, it's another fairly good issue comparatively speaking, but you know. We'll get into it.
Yeah, we will.
All right. So Green Lantern 27, written by Jeremy Adams with artist Zermanico, colorist Romulo Fajardo Jr., letterer Dave Sharp, cover artist V. Ken Marion and Pasquale Ferrara. We have a bunch of variant artists as always, and assistant editor Jillian Grant and editor Paul Kaminsky. We open up with a flashback of a time in the past where... Hal and John have finished sharing a meal over at a local diner before taking off into the stars to do their Green Lantern thing. This whole conversation is just them, you know, talking about somehow you know, Hal was responsible for saving the universe and yet still picked up the tab for their meal. And they're just going back and forth about it. And he's like, you can get the tab next time. And, you know, kind of reminiscing about the perspective of people warring out on other planets and all that other stuff. And then they fly off into the heavens. And then we cut back to the present day where our crew of newly reminted Green Lanterns, Hal, Razor, Sinestro, Jessica, Kyle, freaking Joe, Guy, Kilowog, Aya and Carol are all here. Everybody is here, including, I forget the Amazobot's name, but whatever. They're talking about a plan, what's going on, and they're trying to outrace the Starbreaker and his core, the Starbreaker core, back to Oa to figure out what's going on. And basically they're talking about how, you know, the likelihood that we'll even succeed when we get back is impossible, because one of Joe's suggestions is contacting the League, which they wouldn't be able to do anything, get there on time. This is when the AI in John's ring that mimics Shirley says that she can feel John working the problem and he'll have a plan by the time we get back. So we cut over to Oa, where John is thinking and just basically handing out resources, telling, you know, go get anybody that you can to help us out, send out a distress call, you know, the Ranians, Omega Men, whoever, it doesn't matter. Get them to meet us, and then he sends off Narf and Vexaru to alert the rest of the core and have everybody meet him by the central power battery. That we cut back over to Ellie and Kelly as they talk a bit about the Krona situation. She's trying to find Simon to check in on him. But before they can do that, Vexaru says, you know, hey, all the lanterns to the power batteries now. Meanwhile, at an unknown location on Oa, Simon, currently possessed by Krona, inserts his gauntlet into this stand that is custom fit for it. And it says gestation commencing. So this is some sort of DNA synthesizer or something that's going to restore Krona. I'm sure we'll see. Meanwhile, down in the science cells, John walks up to talk to 2-6. Yay, 2-6. And she's saying to wake everybody from cryosleep. And she says, you know, are you sure? And whatever you can open, she says, okay, I'll do it, but not Sector Black. She doesn't apparently even have the authority or the capability to even open whatever Sector Black is. He then makes his case out to everybody, including people like Despero and Kanjar Roe, Atrocitus and the Red Lanterns. We see Lysa Drak here. We see Larfleeze. There's even Starbreaker's daughter. We'll get to it. And he basically makes the case that says, hey, in the interest of self-preservation, here's a situation. We got people incoming. Will you help us? That's essentially his big speech. They answer by knocking on the glass. We cut back to the chase of the Interceptor, and Starbreaker and them are gaining. Meanwhile, back on Oa, Jelly.
that could be their ship name.
Yeah, Kelly and Ellie. Kelly and Ellie show up trying to yell at John about what's going on. It's going to have to wait. He takes the time to say, I know it's not you. I got a plan. I hope on you live on after. This is when John initiates his plan to light the batteries. His plan to light the batteries is to access all of the inherent ascendedness, godhood, whatever that is within him. Kind of like how Kyle was accessing his own innate white lantern abilities. And he lights the batteries all on his own with his own power and then sort of blips out of existence. It's at this point the power batteries all flip on and new rings start spilling out of them. The Red Lantern Corps is recruited. Brody Walker gets a blue lantern ring.
Probably for like about 5 effing minutes till next issue. You watch.
Bastards. But hey, regardless, you have to be happy about that, man. Brody yes. Walker gets his ring back. John is gone, but Ellie remains. Ellie gets the blue lantern ring. It's unclear because we don't really see her afterwards, but she gets a ring, whether she stays in her green form or becomes blue or becomes a real girl, remains to be seen. Then all of the lanterns currently present, because remember the Sapphire Corps is not there, say their oaths, but everybody else is there, including Larfleeze saying his mine oath. Everybody charges up just as the Interceptor and the Starbreaker Corps have Oa within their sights.
And there technically are other blue lanterns.
Yes, including Badge?
It could be Badge. That's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah, but, yeah, shouldn't be a thing, but whatever.
But what, yes, momentarily, St. Walker is not alone. But, yeah. So.
I'm glad to have Zermanico back. Let's start there.
Yeah, I know the art means so much more to you than it does to me. Even though when the art is horrible, I will recognize it too. But the art is an improvement. All kidding aside, there's no doubt about that.
I don't have any specific thing to point out with the art. That's why I'm just saying it really quick because I just thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean the payoff, the opening sequence would be something that would work better if it wasn't like if the payoff for it wasn't like 10 pages later. I mean, I know it's a comic book, so you have to be careful, because if they had this flashback scene, like, right, let's say the beginning of this arc, or before Starbreaker really started becoming a thing, just a moment with Hal and John, and then they kind of were together, and they kind of referenced this event, a lot of people would forget it, so I guess you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place on this one, but it obviously is a lot more self-serving and somewhat less impactful because of the fact that the only reason you're seeing this scene in the beginning is so John can finally get the payoff for it at the end. Even though the cool part about that is, I mean, the cool part about the whole exchange, one of the cooler parts anyway, is when John just says, I suppose you're right. And he goes, of course I am. I'm Hal Jordan. That's when Jeremy does shit like that, that's when he's on point, you know? I guess we're supposed to assume Kyle was on the stupid ship the whole time.
Yeah, maybe he was depowered and couldn't, maybe, for lack of a better term, get it up.
I guess, but again, it's one of those things we don't get an explanation for. It's off panel, just like complete exposition dump. I guess all the entities supposedly are dead.
Yeah, I told you.
We didn't see them all die. And we know they were still alive before the Starbreaker battery blew up. At least a bunch of them were. So it's a real half-ass way of killing off the entities. It really is. The only one we ever saw really killed in battle, quote unquote, was Predator, if he's really dead. And Parallax Jr., who got crushed, but we know Prozolite and Comp was doing pretty well when everything went kablooey. So that's a real, real lame way to get rid of the entities. Again, mostly off panel. And again, what's the point of doing that, really? I mean, they could have come up with a different way in order for them to have temporary power for it to fail again. I don't know. The stuff with Kelly and Ellie Rose is annoying. I mean, I understand Kelly's friggin' like 12, but Jesus, it's like everything's going to hell. And her concern is, oh, we have to find Simon because Simon's got my gauntlet. It's like, at the very least, and Ellie Rose kind of knows better, but she's still coddling this kid. And it's like, no, the thing that you should be telling everybody, especially at the end when they're trying to talk to John and John goes, it has to wait, is Krona. Just throw the friggin' word out.
Yeah.
You know, because that's really what's important. It's almost as cliche as when Ellie Rose was running to Kelly, like, Kelly, I know what's going on. I have to tell. You know, it's like, and then boom, of course, she gets cut off. But that is a little more understandable. This is Krona. You just need one damn word. Krona. If you want to get Jon Stewart to pay attention to you and to at least acknowledge that this is worth listening to for a second, Krona. But no. Which makes you wonder if this Krona thing is going to pay off at all. Probably not in this arc. We assume it won't be paying off in this arc somehow. Because I find it very difficult to believe. Then again, I wouldn't put anything past creative at this point. But it seems like that'd be a whole lot of heavy lifting in a regular sized issue just to have the Starbreaker stuff resolved, to have Krona come back and be dealt with all in one issue.
Yeah.
I certainly hope they don't do that, because that's talk about a waste of a friggin' setup. But it wouldn't be the first time. But I assume, I don't know what's going to go on, because obviously, no matter what Krona did with Simon, I mean, Simon could have no clue once he wakes up what the hell happened. But we know Ellie and Kelly know about the Krona thing. So there's got to be some reason why they don't tell. I mean, Kelly's obviously, they've kind of given you a reason potentially with Kelly because she's acting like her age. And maybe putting the ring on somehow for Ellie Rose is going to kind of short circuit some things in a different way. So maybe that's how they're going to do it. But you have to assume the Krona thing is what they're going to be building towards coming up in the near future. Maybe that's going to be somehow related to the Book of Oa page with Hal Jordan written on it, considering the last time Hal Jordan and Krona squared off.
Yeah. See, where else should we go with this?
I didn't find Jon Stewart's speech to all the inmates overly compelling, especially when he kind of said, well, you can get a clean slate and you can join us to be one of us. And it's like, well, not everybody wants to be one of you. That would have no effect on the Red Lanterns per se by themselves. You kind of know where he was going with it, but that may not have been objectively the best kind of recruiting speech for people who are diametrically opposed to the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of that, I just wanted to go over this splash here because I don't recognize some of these people. So I just wanted to check. One, I think it's almost impossible to tell who this person is behind John in that little corner panel.
Oh, yeah. Looking out the window. Yeah. How could we?
Yeah. But I think they're drawn in such a way that there might be some recognizable hints because they're clearly not human. But regardless, underneath John, that's Starbreaker's daughter that from Morrison's run, right?
In the square, probably.
Yeah.
She's got the ears, so I guess it would make sense.
Yeah, the Empress or whatever she was called. Don't know the eyeball jelly thing. There's Kanjar Rowe. And then going into the inner circle, I don't know what the eyeball thing is. Obviously Despero, Dexstar. I don't know who that is in the purple. Somebody online said Mongal, but I don't remember ever seeing Mongal in a suit like this.
It's not a bad guess though. I'll say this. It's not a bad guess. You know, Despero, when I first saw Despero, I thought it was a controller, but then you look at it more and it's like, yeah. Cause he's not wearing the outfit. He's kind of like going commando after the cape.
Then we got Larfleeze. I don't know who is next to him. Could be just because of the next few pages we get. Could be random Yellow Lantern member, Red Lantern member. Don't know. Actually, it wouldn't be Red Lantern, right? Because we didn't see whoever this is with the Red Lanterns when they were brought in.
Unless he had been apprehended before. But I guess that's like the X factor in this, because obviously not everybody here has been apprehended recently. Yeah. Talk about getting a raw deal, man. Larfleeze was captured, even though he wasn't captured even by them so to begin with. Yeah. He was captured by the Shadow Lanterns, and then he gets freed to be a distraction. And then obviously after he was succeeded in being a distraction, they threw him back in the science cell. And yet they want to convince these people to join them.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
And now they're freeing him again. To be of use to them again.
Yes, except
and this, based on future solicits, we know he's just going to end up still on Oa.
And they're all going to be on Oa. But yeah, that's kind of shaky, I think. Again, yeah. With this. Again, by the way, no Shepherd.
Yeah. Atrocitus is Elias Bleeze. I don't know who that is underneath Bleeze. They're drawn so clearly. I feel like we're supposed to know, but I don't know. And then underneath that, is that Evil Star without his mask, or am I not recognizing this person?
Which one, the bottom left?
Yeah, bottom left inner circle.
Yeah, I have no idea. He's got pointy ears too.
Or is that supposed to be Bolfunga? Or
maybe I would probably guess maybe more Bolfunga, because he's got. But then again, but Bolfunga doesn't have hair though.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't he like have a fin on his head or something like that?
I don't remember. Yeah. And then obviously Lysa Drac in the bottom right corner. But yeah. The reason I'm combing over this is because they talk in that same future solicit I mentioned about, you know, unknown people, you know, or previous threat or whatever returns or something like that. And I don't think that meant Corona. They were talking about the science cell break. So I just, you know, they put all these people on panel for a reason. So obviously I think Starbreaker's daughter is going to play a part in this. Everybody else could just be a shout out to previous issues of the series, but I don't know. There may be hints here. There may not.
So this was the issue where they talked about returns, or was that next issue?
No, that's the next. It's not even next. Yeah, next issue in terms of after the Starbreaker Supremacy when they're talking
next
about
issue, a core. Next issue, not a core, but a Green Lantern.
Yes.
It could be other core members. It could be other core members we haven't seen in a long time. It could be, of course, we've speculated maybe it'll be Ganthet and Sade. It is interesting, but I mean, again, some of it's predictable, but it is still funny that so many people in the science cells would have, not all of them clearly, but many of them would have been captured during the Shadow Lantern time. but I don't know.
I see Nort, by the way. Unless that's supposed to be, it could be a poorly drawn Nort, or it could be Vox, I guess. On the splash page when the lanterns light up, one of those panels.
Hold on, I got to reopen the issue. It kind of crapped out on me.
There's 2-6, which is cool to see her back. But the reason I mentioned other people in different background images is because on the page where John lights up, not the splash page, but where he's talking to Ellie and then immediately goes Nova there, the very first panel, Box is in the background. Yep. And we haven't seen Box in forever.
An Eagly. Let's see after things get powered up. Let's see.
Splash, it's the double splash of the batteries coming online. John says, for Oa, for my friends, for my family, for everyone.
And just like that, John's not special anymore.
Yeah.
Couldn't call that one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a trend we haven't talked. You've definitely talked about it before, but we haven't talked much historically about it. It's just as much as these various story arcs and things have given us reasons to call out Jeremy, you know, rightfully so in lots of cases. I think this is a DC thing.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. There's no reason multiple different creators across time over on this franchise always take back any specialness of any particular character. The only connecting tissue is editorial / leadership.
Yeah, I would say that's probably more true than not here. That it's which is also weird on one level too, because again, in the case of the John Stewart thing, John Stewart pretty much became this under this editorial regime. So if they were going to take it away, or they didn't want it to be anything, who knows? Maybe that's one of the things that editorial was perfectly okay with Jeremy wiping out from the start if he wanted to, but he didn't. But maybe, who knows? I'm only partially kidding. That would actually make sense why this happened. That if ever something editorial was really kind of we let Thorne do it, but we were never gonna let it stick for too long. Or maybe, who knows? Maybe Thorne had a plan to get rid of it by the end of his 3-year run anyway. But it's like, yeah. If you want to do away with it, we would be really, really happy if you did away with it. It's like, well, I will, but I got a story to do it. But so in a way, it's just odd because, again, it's the same editorial team that allowed it to happen that's sweeping it away, as opposed to the change, I think, that took place when after Kyle was already a White Lantern, and then, you know, Hal and the Corps started and things like that. I think the winds of change were already there. I think the Dio was still in power at that point, but still, I think so. But either way, I don't know. There are some cool things here, but I don't mind having a whole issue without dealing with the Starbreakers, but it just kind of tells you how the story is being drawn out to a certain extent, that you literally have the bad guys like only show up for like a panel or two, and it's like this. It's like one of those O.J. Simpson white Bronco chases. It's like such a slow chase in space, just conveniently to allow all the other stuff on Oa to happen in preparation. But let's see how the sucker ends. But I'm very, very, very displeased about what he did with the entities. That, yeah. I know it's an off panel thing, which makes it 8 times easier to do away with for anybody who wants to. And we still have the paradox of the fact that Carol still stayed powered up after she got separated from the Predator. And at that point, the emotional spectrum still was not functioning because Nate hadn't blown up the battery yet. So I think there's still a strong reason to believe that there's still part of the Predator inside of her. But we never got to see any. We barely got to see any of the other entities do anything at all, other than Prozolite, which I guess you got to give props there. But to kill Ion off screen like that, that's ridiculous. That's super, super lame.
Yeah, we definitely need the revelation of, you know, we only think they were our POV characters think they were destroyed. That's what we need.
Again, if he. This is the stuff that kind of drives you up the wall. It's the stuff that if they want to establish this or make it where people don't go, okay, but, then don't keep doing stuff off panel or just throwing out lines that contradict either things that you saw or things that you didn't 100% see. And it's like, how about just, you know, they could have literally had a panel in that last issue where like every single one of the entities kind of was breaking apart. Even if it happened right for some strange reason after the power battery got destroyed. Because, I mean, let's be honest, how they killed off Parallax Jr. was super lame.
Yeah.
But it's like Captain Stacy, how Gwen Stacy's father died, I think, getting stuck in the rubble by pushing a kid out of the way. I think he got crushed by falling rubble. that's kind of what it's like. It's and really, I mean, you bring Ion back for that. We haven't seen the entity since Lights Out, and this is what you do. I don't know. I have a big issue with it. Again, it's who knows if we ask Jeremy, he might give us the same Parallax explanation. Well, I really don't think the entities are dead. I just keep continually having people say things as facts that are not, which confuses readers. But I would be stunned if he really believes the entities are dead, because if he wanted to convey that, then why would you not show it?
Yeah, true. The other thing to mention here, one of the other things, slight change in the Sinestro Corps oath.
Oh, actually, I didn't pay attention to that.
In blackest day, in brightest night, beware your fears made into light. Let those who try to stop what's right burn like our power.
Yeah, you're like right.
Our might.
Which is interesting.
I mean, technically, Sinestro is not one of them anymore right now. How would all of them know that? Or would they know that? Why do they know that? Neither here nor there. But if you want a real quick explanation, he's not there.
Hey, that's I just realized that's supposed to be Archilo.
Yep.
Who they didn't bother showing during the splash page of everybody.
when we had Fractured Spectrum stuff going on and people having issues, the other Lantern Corps losing powers and stuff like that, like with what happened with the freaking what's his name, the Derlin.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot his name now.
Yeah. Did we see a moment of maybe the Indigo Corps like knowing what they were before and being like, hey, if we lose power, you're going to have a lot of killers on your hand or dangerous otherwise people. You should probably lock us up since our power is going away. Is that why they're all there? Or do you think they're all there because of
convenience?
Well, yes, but in story, what's his explanation for these people being here? Is it because of something like that, or do you think it's because of when John was telling him to reach out to any allies we have?
Oh, that's an interesting. Well, the problem is they wouldn't. Well, you're right. Well, the problem is the Spectrum is so screwed up. Apparently, there's no reason to believe any of the cores were still functioning.
Yeah.
So that means they wouldn't have the power to get there anyway. Because the power batteries, again, which is kind of weird too, because they show you before John does what he does. You see the power batteries, and they kind of look like they're working because they have the right color in them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of looks like they do have power, but they're not supercharged. So that was kind of confusing a little bit, too, but I guess they look like they did before Kyle powered them up and all the energy got sucked out immediately. So I guess it is that part, I guess, is consistent, but I don't know. I think the only thing we can ascertain from that and all those friggin' science cells during the Shadow Lantern stuff, you know, in the Derlin thing, that they were apprehended. It does it make sense? No. Again, it's convenience. But obviously we do see Evil Star, because we see him right when talking to John on that same page where we see the batteries before they're lit up. Yes, Green Lantern, what is your plan? So yeah. that's Evil Star. It's pretty horrible on that panel when John and Kelly are running to them. They literally have the same face, just one's green. But I'm not even kidding. It's almost identical. If it's not identical, their faces are drawn horribly both, but it looks like they're almost identical. It's like, oh, but Simon is missing again. And this is Ellie Rose this time. Who the fuck cares about Simon? You think that the sliding scale of what's going on, including this subplot, you think the fact that Simon is missing is really that important? I know, I understand I actually don't understand Ellie Rose's connection to Simon, but we understand Kelly's connection to Simon. But on the sliding scale, Krona. Just effing Krona.
How do you feel about the Blue Lantern moments, both St. Walker getting his ring back and Ellie getting a ring?
It could be somewhat interesting with Ellie, even though it is debatable. I mean, I guess since we really don't know entirely what John did to get her there, I guess she might, you know, she might be more, she's obviously more than just a construct. So it will be curious to see what she looks like, whether she's going to be this glue, That's another ship name. It's Blue Green Amalgam, as far as, or whatever. I think it is also interesting that the blue ring went to her. But it's still somewhat interesting too that they're going down the road that it seems like they're switching gears that a little bit, where I think there were certainly enough hints that the Ellie Rose thing was going to be a problem coming down the road, and now all of a sudden they want, maybe it's just a misdirect to make you think that, oh, she's don't you worry, she's going to be fine, but she's not going to be fine because she still really shouldn't exist. I don't know. The Blue Lantern thing was nice, but again, I'm pretty skeptical because nobody's been treated worse than St. Walker, and that's even including two strong contenders in Atrocitus and Arkillo. Arkillo, generally speaking, has been treated more like garbage than Atrocitus. It's just over the last couple of years, Atrocitus has been catching up. But Arkillo has gotten the shaft from almost everybody, especially from Sinestro. He's been so loyal to Sinestro. Got his tongue ripped out for Sinestro. And then he finally has a great moment when he's kind of embracing being a hero, and he's paired up with the one guy who actually has always liked him, and he kind of has always had a grudging respect for in St. Walker, and actually felt guilty that he didn't help break St. Walker out when he was being tortured by the Sinestro Corps. And they team up to be sector partners on 2814, and boom, then we got friggin' Hal in the Corps, and it gets all completely destroyed. Thank you, Robert Venditti. Thank you very much. We'll see.
Yeah.
Sam Walker deserves a lot. He deserves a friggin' 6-issue miniseries, and not where the ending with him losing his effing ring either.
These other Blue Lanterns, I don't know where they come from. Although one of them looks like maybe Sister Circe, or no, never mind. Sorry, there's somebody with like a blindfold on in front of Saint Walker, just above the bubble there.
Maybe not a blindfold. Looks like she's almost like a nun.
Yeah, I don't know. But Badge, definitely, the squirrel should not. We saw Badge get a blue ring when Simon created the Source Lantern, but he should be just a Green Lantern, which is confusing, too, because if you really zoom in on it, Badge has a Green Lantern symbol on his chest, if this is Badge, and not just some Blue Lantern squirrel. Artistically, that's a Green Lantern symbol. You got to zoom in like crazy. But anyways.
I'm so zoomed in. And then, geez. You might be right, but I can't. Zooming in this much, it's getting – you're right. I think I would agree with you, but you're right. It's a whole friggin' lot of zooming in. It could also – yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we're gonna have a whole bunch of green blue amalgams, which actually would be fully, which would actually be a concept that's way overdue, considering we know blues are completely limited without greens to be able to actually get stuff done, and yet blues can completely super. Technically, blues probably can. I think what we learned is that blues probably it can essentially superpower the entire emotional spectrum under the right circumstance. Since we know they can do it to green. I think we know they can do it to indigo. When thanks to being tortured, we know they can do it for yellow. So it's probably reasonable to believe that under the right circumstances, the Blue Lanterns can power up anybody. So maybe we're gonna have some green blue amalgams. Maybe that's what Kelly is gonna be too. But we'll see.
We'll see.
At least we know they're gonna. At least we know conceptually that all these new lanterns are going to survive past the end of the Starbreaker supremacy.
Yep.
The cores, anyway. Not every lantern, mate, but the cores will.
And that's the last point, quickly, is, partly spoilers to blame again, because the solicit for Green Lantern Corps 11 talks directly about John Stewart on a mission. So him, disappearing, there's no weight to him disappearing. We know he'll be back, we know he'll be back so damn immediately, well, then we know exactly what happens in this sacrificial moment. Is he very, very, very likely loses his godhood or ascension or whatever. So totally telegraphed. So all weight from that moment is, I don't know. It's a cool moment. Yes, on panel, but in terms of giving you anything in terms of weight or looking forward to what happens with John in the next issue or wondering how they're going to resolve it or whatever, There's no mystery. There's no nothing there. It's just we know exactly what happened already.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a hint that there's a little hint that John's power is not quite as all gone as we thought. But even if it's remember, he made the point of saying in this issue how difficult it's been to kind of keep this all under control. That people don't realize like how much effort it's been taking to keep all this ascended power under wraps. So the fact that he released a significant amount of it does not necessarily mean he released all of it, but he may have released enough of it where he's still a little bit above normal, but not what he was, and he's got a little bit left in the tank.
Yeah. I wonder what these multicolored guardians, are they going to become the guardians of the core, the individual core? I guess we'll see. Whatever.
That'll be interesting.
All right, what's next?
The only thing I believe the only thing I have is in what I've seen. Last week we saw, basically because there was nothing else really that fit into the time frame that we had any interest in, we saw Caught Stealing. I saw Caught Stealing, which was the Austin Butler movie. Man, that's like about 2 hours of my life I wish I had back. It's a difficult movie to watch because it's a really violent movie and really, and it's really uncomfortable. You know, it's not like, no, I can't say silly, but it's not like mindless violence where it's like over the top, where it's not real. It's easy not to like react to it. That it's like we talked about with video games. It's not like it's one of those things where it's just so much going on. It's not like you're really doing anything to real people. This is pretty vivid. And what happens to a lot of, and almost pretty much almost every character in the movie ends up suffering something really bad happening to them, and physically, because of the violence in this movie. And the trailers were not entirely straightforward on this. I think they were trying to play up some of the comic or the comedic aspect of this movie. And there's a few funny parts, and it kind of gets a little more humorous at the end, but even when you think there's kind of like a twist, and maybe the movie's going in a slightly different way, like when the Vincent D'Onofrio and Liev Schreiber characters really are more on the screen with Austin Butler, then you kind of get the. Now, I can't even necessarily say it's a twist, because if it kind of was hinted at previously, but it was an unreliable narrator that hinted at something that involved some of these characters. That when it just becomes clear that, oh yeah, this really happened, and it's like that kind of whatever good feeling you had at the time. There was a nice setup with something that happened to Austin Butler's character when he was younger, a payoff of that later on in the movie, where it's like something that he really regretted and something that kind of hung over him, haunted him, that in a way he was able to exorcise it a little bit because of how circumstances put him in a similar situation, and he kind of embraced it. So I think that part works, but it's a Sony movie, so it will be coming on Netflix probably in a couple of months. So I don't think there's anything I will, unless I want to fast forward this and watch the scenes with the cat again. Other than that, I really don't think there's much in this movie that I would want to revisit. It's a really, really difficult watch, and I would personally not recommend Stealing Home.
I don't think I saw any trailers for that one, even like watching YouTube or something.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many trailers I saw. I know I saw trailers because of the fact that I remember them playing up some of the funnier aspects in it. But they really are kind of far and few between. So I think that's. Yeah, it's like I said, there's a certain amount of violence that you can kind of deal with and not think twice about. And this is kind of hard, I think, harder than I would. And I'm certainly not a pushover when it comes to stuff like that, that any little thing is going to bother me. Some of the plot twists or not twists, plot points are somewhat predictable about certain characters, but they certainly do a bunch of things to different characters that you really didn't think they were going to do, or certainly you didn't expect things to happen the way they happened. And yeah, it's not, it's not, It's certainly a movie where, let's put it this way, if I had not seen this movie in the theater and I first watched it, if I waited till it came on Netflix and I started to watch the movie, there's probably one point relatively early on, but probably within the first 40 minutes of the movie, that I probably would have just stopped watching it and I wouldn't have had any compulsion to go back and finish it. So.
Yeah, the only relatively recent movie I heard anything good about, and it's not up my alley, would be Weapons.
Yeah, I never got to see Weapons. I think that's another WB movie. I think so, which means because that might be an A24 movie. I think it might be. Either way, if it's a WB or A24 movie, then eventually, clearly, it'll be on HBO Max. Yeah. So I'll watch it.
Only things I have are just, you know, collection related. I did go ahead and buy the Venom that is exclusive, or I don't know if it's exclusive. It might be on Big Bad Toy Store. There's a Venom Funko Pop that I've been putting off getting for some stupid reason. I pulled the trigger. It's like, it's full Venom, tongue out, green slime all over his mouth. So I had to pick it up. But I bought it for the pile of loot, which is something I haven't done yet. I know you do all the time. And the only reason I did that, it's a glow in the dark limited edition exclusive. Sorry. The only reason I did that is because I still don't have the Hal cover pop with the Hal and the Core issue on behind him. And the pops that we talked about last time we recorded, the Superman Black Lantern and Superman Sinestro Core, are also don't seem to be exclusive. So they shouldn't be hard to get, theoretically speaking.
Yeah, I think the pre-orders for those are still open almost everywhere. I know they were open on Big Bad Toy Store. I don't think there is a big sell on these at the moment.
Yeah, and then the new Legacy or whatever it is, Green Lantern Funko Pop, that also is non-exclusive. I haven't pre-ordered those yet. I don't like pre-ordering because lots of sites, and I think this is standard practice, so I don't think it's necessarily something to complain about, but I don't like when I buy something, the money not immediately coming out of my account. I don't like waiting for the nebulous day they decide to draft all payments for the thing you pre-ordered. And then, you know, I like knowing exactly how much money I have when I have it, and not being like, oh, I just make sure you always have, I don't know, $75 or, you know, whatever the amount is that, so you're prepared for this pre-order to go through. I don't like that. So with those Funkos not being an exclusive edition, I decided to go ahead and or go ahead and order the Venom while they had it in stock for a pile of loot. And then once those Funkos actually go live and are out and ready to buy, then I'll add them all to the pile of loot and, you know, I'll get like four Funkos in one go.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I know that I have about a month to go before it's going to be time to before I get my redemption coin so I can turn it in for my high evolutionary. So I'm looking forward to that.
For sure. Yeah, I think too, doesn't the sleeping Space Godzilla release around the same time as the Superman and stuff? Sometime in like November or something?
Probably, because we know they were part of the same dump.
Yeah.
When it came to they were available like on the same day for pre-order. So probably I think that's probably a safe bet that they're going to be available around the same time. Yeah. But then again, sometimes you don't know, because that's why, hell, I think I'd still be waiting for my Guy Gardner pop from Big Bad Toy Store for some strange reason. That was one of the ones they absolutely crapped a bet on. I'm glad I found mine at Target. But even though I did get notice this week that my Asriel Nightfall Batman, which luckily is the blue suit, because I don't like the, as much as I love the Asriel red suit, I don't like the red suit Batman, which of course is only red because he got set on fire, and I believe in the final issue of that arc. But the actual blue Asriel Batman suit was pretty damn awesome. So that pop, when I saw that pop, when they put that on pre-order several months ago, I definitely I definitely put my order in for that one, and that's supposed to be arriving shortly.
Yeah, the only Asriel merchandise I own is the Asriel McFarlane figure that was based off of the White Knight series, the Sean Gordon Murphy.
I think that could possibly be the one I have. That's the darker one, right? That's the darker.
Yeah, it's all the red suit. Yeah.
Oh, but is it red? Is it red? No. Yeah, I don't have it. The pseudo Asriel one I have, I'm pretty sure it's a black and gold suit.
This is the red suit. Speaking also of Guy Gardner, I pulled the trigger on an eBay purchase to get the Guy Gardner McFarlane Red Lantern. Ended up spending like $42. So I definitely paid over retail. Retail on those collector's edition figures is like what, 30, something like that.
Probably.
I opted to do that because I've checked everywhere around me, without checking all of Austin itself. I've checked, you know, South Austin's, and I've checked Kyle and Buda and San Marcos and all these places around me. And it's just not popping up anywhere. And the other reason I opted for buying it online is because it's a platinum edition. It's a Chase or whatever we call the McFarlane ones, whatever their label is, which are harder to find. So the harder to find ones always go up in value, and the harder to find ones are going to go up even more in value once the license switches back over to Mattel.
That is true.
So I might as well pay $10 over retail, $10-$12 over retail now, instead of paying 20 or more later on. So I put in the effort to try and find it in the wild and not be the schmuck who paid over retail for it. But I'm sorry, I have to have it. So there's other McFarlane figures I still don't have and want, like Effigy, for example. But in terms of importance to me, to make sure I absolutely had to have, the Guy Gardner Red Lantern. So I had to pull the trigger on that now. Oh, sorry, I was just closing the file. I just realized I said Despero earlier, didn't I? People in the science. That's Gem, son of Saturn. It's not Despero.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's Gem. I always get Gem and Despero messed up. I'm just closing the folder on my computer, and I just realized that that's Gem. Last thing I wanted to talk about shopping-wise, this may be a topic for you. I don't know, because of your understanding about the movie industry and everything. How do you feel about the fact that Superman, the Steelbook especially, is just sold out? Obviously, nothing is released yet, but pre-orders absolutely everywhere for the Steelbook of Superman is just you can't find it. There are eBay listings for this thing for like $90.
It's on the surface, it seems like that's pretty impressive, because most things don't. But then again, you also don't know how many were made available to start with. How many maybe it's something they purposely limited, not just the pre-sale, but maybe they just limited to begin with, and it's been a smaller quantity than usual. I don't know. I do think it is impressive, again, on the surface. But I think no matter what, yeah, it's probably a rarity that happens with anything, even a steel. So there certainly is a niche audience, I think, or a niche audience for steel books. Some people just like steel books, even if the actual content they're getting is not any different than this, like a disc they already have, but they like the packaging. And for me, yeah, I'm not. It would have to be something really, really unique for me to be that dedicated to the cause, where I'm going to get something that I already have, or it's something that looks identical to something I already have, at least on the surface, and just, oh, the packaging is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I know you're a completist, so I know.
Yeah, I want it. But I mean, all of the movies on my shelves are regular Blu-rays, but I really like the look of the Steelbook, because it's, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's the front of Superman's Fortress from the movie with the shield logo with the door closed. And then when you open it up, the door is opening. It just looks so cool. And plus I really like the movie, to the point where I was like, you know what? I would invest a little extra money just to have the Steelbook. And plus I do have a 4K TV now. I've had it for a little while, but I don't have the Apple TV with the 4K capability. Like I still have the older version of the Apple TV, and I also don't have a like 4K player. I just have a regular Blu-ray player. So I actually haven't utilized the 4K capability of my TV since I bought it, in theory. I'm thinking about like, you know, this is technically also the start of a new universe. So why not start it off with like having the, you know, the 4K version included? Obviously it comes with a Blu-ray, so I'll be fine either way. I don't necessarily need to upgrade all my players and everything right now. But why not start off just by having the upgraded version anyways? So it's just been something I've been after. I'm just shocked it was sold out.
Yeah. I mean, I would, like I said, I would be surprised it would sell out, because you would not think that that's something that's going to sell out.
For sure. The last thing I want to talk about is guys listening at home, told Mark this last week as we record this. Obviously, Green Lantern 27 came out today. But last week I was working, I work from home on my computer. My laptop crashed 3 times in 1 week. I figured out what the issue is, and unfortunately, it's a hardware thing. I have a 2017 MacBook Pro. It is just time. And I have started buying components for a PC that I'm going to have a friend of mine help me build. Not top of the line 2K model, all invested at the end of the day type situation, but definitely significantly more powerful than what I have, and future proofed a little bit in terms of like RAM and storage, so that, I don't have to, you know, wear out quite as fast. I know that a 2017 MacBook is, you know, 8 years old or whatever at this point. So maybe some of you are surprised that I have something that old still. I want even more time out of a computer. I'm sorry. You spend all that much money, I think it should last longer. That's just my thing. But that being said, I say this because I would like to do more with this show. And it doesn't have to involve Mark if Mark doesn't want to be involved. Like, for instance, I do a lot of stuff on TikTok and stuff like that under my own name. I don't have there's not a Lantern Cast thing. But in terms of like just getting involved in the content creation space on behalf of the Lantern Cast, I don't know, Mark, if you want to ever be involved in video stuff. It doesn't feel like you are, but we'll talk about it off air, obviously. Yeah. But there's lots of different stuff on social media in these various content creation spaces that you can do. It just requires more time, more effort, more production of content. And there's only so much I can do on my end with my phone directly, or if I wanted to go even heavier on my 2017 MacBook Pro. So if you guys have suggestions about where you would like to see the Lantern Cast in terms of, not necessarily the episodes themselves, but our presence elsewhere, where would that be? What would that look like? And if you have any suggestions on things we can change or do for the show, what would those be? Obviously we won't necessarily implement everything, but I am curious, you know, where are you spending your time online that you would like to see a presence of Green Lantern knowledge, or just whatever it is that we can offer as a show to you guys out there? Because even if both of us don't do it, I would be willing to try and do something like that, just because I like participating in the community in that particular way. And now, hopefully within a month, that's my goal, I'll have all the pieces, because I already have the graphics card, I already have the case. Now I'm working on buying RAM and storage and stuff like that. So this is no longer a Chad's planning to build a PC. Chad has components already to start said PC build. So I am planning to have this done hopefully within a month. So I would like to step my game up a little bit, just because I will have a more powerful device with which to do so.
Opens up a lot of possibilities.
For sure, including me storing lots of files and stuff like that, or taking back over some of the editing, because I honestly, guys, when my computer crashed, I was running two different browsers. I had no other programs open. My computer can barely handle it running two different browsers at the same time. Can you imagine me handling more consistent editing chores at the very least? So Anyways, I would love some feedback on that. Also, I was thinking, do you guys like slash care when we do recaps of these issues? I'm not suggesting an entire switch up to our format necessarily. I'm curious how many people listen to the show who don't currently read what's going on. Are we talking into the ether by recapping these issues, or by the time the episode comes out, have you already read other things and you forgot exactly what happened, so it's helpful for you? Are you not staying current on current issues, but you stay current through us? We know like Jim does that with some things. So like, how many of you out there actually get anything from our recaps? I'm genuinely curious about that, because sometimes we spend time or even significant, not significant, but just be like, oh, I don't feel like doing a recap today, sort of a thing. Does it matter? Does it actually matter to you guys? I'm genuinely curious.
I would suspect most people still appreciate the recaps. I think almost everybody does recaps. I would say, I think we've made a concerted effort to try to do them in a more abridged fashion. I would say, and spend at least more time in discussion of the content and not necessarily going through, you know, this happened and this happened and this happened, and just kind of do the broad strokes and then come back and kind of flesh it out when we're talking about we're doing the discussion part of the episode.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, just things I was thinking about, because I see more processing power on my horizon. So I'm automatically thinking about ways to optimize various things. This is the podcast stuff I suggested already is not the only thing I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about new ways to store family photos and just all this shit that I have not been able to do digitally speaking for quite a while. So I'm genuinely curious what you guys out there think. So definitely let us know. Is that it?
I think so.
So if people want to let us know, how do they reach out to us?
LanternCast@gmail.com. The website is LanternCast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. Use hashtag GLCast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you listen to us on. Please leave us a positive review. And last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708-LANTERN, and let us know what you think.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.